please. Almighty God, King of the universe, we thank you, Father, for thy great love, for thy mercy, for thy great goodness. We thank you for Jesus Christ and him crucified. We thank you, Father, for this church and this congregation, thy people. We thank you for the opportunity to feed the poor in this place. We thank you, Father, for our meals that are served and our kitchen staff that makes that possible. We pray that you continue to bless them. Heal Larry of his cancer. We pray that you've heard of all of our sick that we have mentioned. We pray for all of those that are listed in our bulletin, those that are sick and down and out and not be able to be with us today. We pray that you continue to bless them and heal them and raise them up and return them to us soon. We pray for our jail and prison ministry, for our hospital chaplains. We thank you for our radio broadcasts that go out to all the world. And we're so thankful for our internet ministry that is reaching so many people, over a million hits every year. Thank you, Father, for only you could make these things like this possible. Forgive our sins, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I'm going to give you a little report to the church this morning. I'd like for you to consider the works of this church and the things that are going on. How about last Sunday? Y'all ever see anything like that? What an amazing thing. We had two churches that came and helped us. We fed 400 turkey and dressing dinners. Those of you that are new or visiting today, We fed turkey and dressing, fruit salad, and sheet cake. Greenville Avenue brought a U-Haul truck full of clothes and blankets and socks and gloves and things of that nature. And the Skillman Avenue congregation, Segalville congregation brought hundreds of shoe boxes full of hygiene supplies and things of that nature. And so we had a big give out last Sunday and provided the poor with a lot of food and a lot of stuff. We want to also remember Daniel Henderson. I forgot him. I got a call from him this morning. He's got blood clots in his lungs. We'll remember him in prayer. We began this feeding ministry with about 20 people. Now we feed about 3,000 meals a week, about 150,000 a year. We feed, generally speaking, chicken soup with vegetables and rice, and we feed a really good soup and bologna sandwiches and a sweet. We appreciate all the help that we get, all the food that's donated to us. Our radio ministry goes out from here to all the earth. In fact, we cover the earth 1.5 times every Sunday morning. And as the sun rises in Polotsk, Russia, we lose back to the Pacific. But other than the Pacific, we cover the entire earth 1.5 times less the Pacific. And we have a chance to do something about that. World Christian Broadcasting is this year going to open on the island of Madagascar a shortwave station there. They're going to be broadcasting from the island of Madagascar, and they're going to cover between 4 and 5 billion people in their broadcast area. They'll broadcast to the entire earth, everything except North America, where we are. Now, most of the world listens to shortwave radio, while we in the United States listen to longwave radio. But most of the world listens to shortwave radio. And there are between 2.5 and 3 billion shortwave radios in the world today. And they estimate that at any one time, A billion of those radios are turned on, and the average amount of people listening to that radio is 3. So they estimate at any one time in the world, there are 3 billion people listening to the radio. That's absolutely amazing. That's about 30%, 20 to 30% of the world's population, 30 to 40% of the world's population. So if we could pick up this one station on the island of Madagascar, we will just about, we'll cover the earth twice. This church is dedicated to 2 things, to preaching the gospel to the whole wide world and feeding the poor. In Psalms 41, if you'll read with me, please. Blessed is he that considereth the poor, the Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth. Thou wilt not deliver him unto his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him on the bed of his languishing. Thou wilt make all his beds in his sickness. And I said unto the Lord, be merciful to me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. 5 years ago, I died 3 times and had a massive heart attack and had a 5-way bypass, open heart surgery and all that stuff, and God spared me. Now God has spared me from cancer, and I'm fixing to have some more surgeries beginning in the first year. And I have no doubt whatsoever that God has spared me because of this church's dedication to the poor and us being dedicated to the poor for so long. Now, in 1 John 5, verse 14, we see, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. If we ask anything, anything at all, according to his will, he heareth us. Turn with me to Mark 16, verse 15. And he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth that is baptized should be saved, and he that believeth not should be damned. Now we know that it's God's will that the poor be fed. Because he said, blessed is he who considereth the poor. We know that it's God's will that the gospel be preached to all the world. So let's ask the Lord now. I want to ask that you go with me to the Lord in prayer. Let's ask the Lord now to make this station in Madagascar possible. And if it be his will that we're trying to get on in Memphis and New Orleans too, if it be his will that he provide for those things, because we can't do that. We have a contribution of $1,000 to $1,500 a week. We can't do that. We don't have the money to do that. But God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he can make all things possible. So let's go to Father in prayer, please. Almighty God, King of the universe, we thank you, Father, for your love. We pray, Father, that you help us, that we continue to feed the poor. We pray that you help us with our meals, that we have even more to give away to the poor and the homeless and the downtrodden. Father, we pray that you might make the way possible that we can get on this station in Madagascar. We pray that our broadcast can go out to the entire earth. We pray for the station in Memphis and the station in New Orleans. And we pray, Father, and trust ourselves into your hand. If you have somebody that can do the job better than us, then put them on. But if we're doing your will and we're doing the things that you'd have us do and we're preaching as you would have us preach and then you want to help us expand, then we pray, Father, that you help us get on in Madagascar and Memphis, New Orleans, it be your will. We trust all things in your hands. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Got a treat today. Brother Manuel is going to come and bring our message. Thank you.
Hello, can everybody hear me? Good, good. I can't even hear myself. How was everybody's holidays? Good, good. That's good to hear. Today, we're going to be talking about Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Short, simple, to the point. It should be easily understood. God bless us and help us. Brother Kelly already came forth with an excellent prayer, so I'm just going to begin with the lesson. In Jeremiah 25:11, and it says this, "And its whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. As you know, Judah was put into captivity by the Babylonians, and it was for 70 years. Judah to be in captivity for 70 years, referred to Jeremiah 29, verses 10 through 12, Jeremiah 29, verse 10. "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." God is speaking of his mercy. After 70 years, a remnant to return to the land. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, starting with verse 21. It's verses 21 to 23. "To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. If you know in Leviticus 25, it talks about the Sabbath day to keep it holy to the Jews, and then seven Sabbaths, the sabbatical year, and then 49 years to the 50th year, which is a Jubilee. So these 70 years where they did not observe those things, it tells me this, that the Jubilee was not observed. And in the Jubilee, what was to happen, and I'm just giving you a brief summary, being that we are lacking in time. The Jubilee, people were to be set at liberty. Possessions were to be returned to their owners, their rightful owners. And this was to keep the land from poverty. What happens if a person became poor after 50 years, they would return their possessions so that their children, so that their generations wouldn't have to suffer their poverty. Does everybody understand that? Okay, just a short summary. Okay, so again, after 70 years, a remnant to return to the land, 2 Chronicles 36, verses 21 to 23 again, "to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept her Sabbath, she kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, the king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms to the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, And he hath charged me to build him an house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up. Cyrus is foretold in Isaiah 44, verse 28. It says, that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform my pleasure. Even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. Isaiah 45, 1. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed. God called Cyrus his anointed. Not that he was the Christ, but God had a purpose for Cyrus, king of Persia, also as he had a purpose for the king of Babylon, which was Nebuchadnezzar. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. Notice that Cyrus is mentioned specifically by name. Now, we're going to talk about Daniel chapter 2, and this is Nebuchadnezzar's dream. In Daniel chapter 2, verses 1, verses following, God is speaking in figurative language using symbols. The great image, which you see I made a little picture of right here. Great image I'm getting better. I'll become a better artist someday. Okay. God is speaking in figurative language. The head of gold was the Babylonian Empire. The breast and arms of silver was the Medo-Persian Empire. The belly and thighs of brass was the Greek Empire. And the legs of iron was the Roman Empire. Now, I'm going to repeat this as I read, okay, as we read along together. And the feet, and this is the image that King Nebuchadnezzar saw, okay? And the feet was iron mixed with clay. We'll talk about that too. Also, there was a mountain and a stone cut out of the mountains. I'm not going too fast for anybody, am I? Very good. There was a stone cut out of the mountain without hands. So let's see what it says here. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 1, and in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home, or call us at 214-821-2123, or visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com, the dash is the key, for free download of great a cappella singing and gospel preaching. Daniel chapter 2, verse 1 again. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar was king of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians, and the astrologers, and the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know them. So here's what happens, to make a long story short. He asked all these soothsayers to tell him his dream. And they say, well, tell us the dream, and we'll give the interpretation thereof. And Nebuchadnezzar says, well, no. I don't know the dream. You tell me the dream and the interpretation. So they say, hey, nobody can do that. So he says, well, I'm going to kill you guys. How about that? And then they send for Daniel, and Daniel finds out, hey, what's going on here? So Daniel prays to God, and God gives him the dream. The dream, not only the interpretation, but the dream and the interpretation. So what we're going to do is we're going to go down to verse 31. We're going to drop down to verse 31, seeing we're short of time. Daniel chapter 2, verse 31. And this is Daniel speaking to Nebuchadnezzar when he finds out the dream. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This is the great image of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. The image's head was of fine gold. That's the Babylonian Empire under Nebuchadnezzar, which the captivity lasted about 70 years. The image head was of fine gold, his breasts and his arm was of silver. That is the Medo-Persian Empire again. His belly and thighs was of brass, his legs of iron, and his feet part of iron and part of clay. The thighs of brass, legs, belly and thighs of brass is the Greek Empire, and the legs of iron is the Roman Empire. Okay, verse 34, thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, and upon his feet that were of iron and of clay, and break them in pieces. There was a mountain that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream of, and this stone came out from the mountain. What is the mountain? Well, the mountain is the kingdom of God. And this stone that came out of the mountain is Christ. And what happens is the stone breaks the image, and then after that, the stone becomes a mountain. So what happens here is the kingdom of God came to earth in Christ. Verse 35 again. Then was the iron, the clay, I'm back to 34. Verse 34. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and break them into pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken in pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. Those kingdoms did not last. They're all gone now. And became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain. This is the kingdom of Christ in heaven. The stone who was Christ became a great mountain. That means the church began. That means it was established. That means the kingdom of God came to earth in the form of the church, whose ruler is Christ. Verse 36, this is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Again, the interpretation. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, not that he is the king of kings, because we have one king of kings, and that is Jesus Christ. But why does Daniel call Nebuchadnezzar a king of kings? Well, this is why. Let's continue. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And this is what God has right now. There is a similar verse in Revelation. I don't remember quite exactly. But verse 38, Daniel 2:38, and wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given unto thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. So Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire was the head of gold. Verse 39. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee of silver, that is the Medo-Persian Empire, and another third kingdom of brass, which is the Greek Empire. Now, I may get a little repetitive, but please bear with me, because repetition is how you learn. A kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom, that's the Roman Empire. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. They will rule with an iron leg. Verse 41. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with the miry clay, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. I've researched this at some length, and what commentators usually say is that defeat, not defeat, but the feet that are of part iron and clay, what it was meant is that the Romans tried to intermarry, to unite the nations, but it didn't work out. Okay? But what I think of, during the Roman Empire, the church began. And I think of, like an analogy, not that it's mentioned as so, but I think of the church and how I think of the earth and how we have Christians on the earth and non-Christians on the earth. You see, that we are together in the earth, but we are not united. Kind of as iron and clay cannot be brought together. Verse 43, I'm going to go back to 43. And whereas thou sawest the iron mixed with the miry clay, then shall they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with the clay. They'll try to intermarry, but it won't work out. Verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. That is the kingdom of God on earth. That is the kingdom of Christ. That is the church of Christ, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest the stone was cut out of the mountains without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof. Again, in Daniel 2:35, remember this. The stone strikes the image of the four kingdoms and becomes a great mountain. Well, what is the mountain? What mountain? You refer to Isaiah chapter 2, starting with verse 1. Isaiah 2 and 1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days. You can circle that if you want. What is the last days? That is known as the Christian age. We are in the last days. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. And all nations shall flow unto it. You know, we are in a peaceful kingdom. And how we conquer the world is by preaching the gospel and winning souls to Christ peacefully. Verse 3. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Verse 4, and he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. Have you ever been rebuked by God? No? Have not been rebuked by God? I have been many times. And I'm tired of it. I am sick and tired of getting rebuked by God. I'm tired of it. But every time, you know, it causes repentance. If you sin being Christians, repent. Please. Verse 4 again. And they shall judge among the nations, and they shall rebuke. Oh, I'm sorry. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. We as Christians, we learn the word of God, and it is peace. We are learning the word of peace. Verse 5. O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Who is the light? In Genesis 1:1, somewhere in there, verses following, he says, and God said, let there be light. And you notice, you sleepyheads, did you notice that God says, let there be light? Before he says, let there be sun and moon. He said, let there be sun and moon. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit. He said, let there be sun and moon on the fourth day. But he said, let there be light on the first day. So who is that light? Hallelujah. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. Who's the Word? Yes. Jesus our Lord. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That's a good memory scripture. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And in verse 14 it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the light. Back to Isaiah 2, verse 6. Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people and the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east, and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves in the children of strangers. We ought not to be like this, but we ought to please God. Brother Kelly said earlier that if we ask anything according to his will, not only should we ask according to his will, but we should be in his will as we're asking. Amen. Verse 7. Their land also is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end of their treasure. Their land is also full of horses, neither is there any end to their chariots. Their land is also full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. Do you notice how a lot of heathens or people that don't know God, you notice how they're rich and they're prosperous? Isn't that something? Isn't that somewhat of a temptation? You want to give up on God because you decide you want to be rich instead? But you're failing in the promise of God. And what did God promise us? Did he promise us riches on earth? Did he promise us to fulfill our lustful desires on earth? Get all the women you want? Get all the houses? Get all the riches? Get all the power? Have everyone bow to you? Is that what you want? Is that what God promised you on earth? The answer is no. No, sure not. But what he did promise is eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. And let's look for that. For what does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Okay, we're going to skip a little bit to verse 10. Isaiah 2:10. Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust. And who is the rock? The rock cut without hands, the stone? Well, according to Daniel 2, it's Christ. Right, Christ and his kingdom. That rock was made a mountain, that stone. Okay. Again, verse 10. Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. Hide yourself in the Lord. If you're in the Lord, you are safe. You just got to remain in the Lord. Not if you think you're in the Lord and you're not. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123. Or visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. The dash is the key. A download of great a cappella singing and gospel preaching. I'm going to go down to Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 16. Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 16. And this is, of course, concerning the Christ. And there shall come forth a rock out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch. Notice in your Bibles that that word branch is capitalized. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Verse 3, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. If you're not wicked, the word of Christ will not slay you. But if you are wicked and against, then this rock will be a rock of offense unto you, and a stone of stumbling. Verse 5. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Where is the righteousness of God? The righteousness of God is found in the Word of God. Where is the righteousness of God? The righteousness of God is found in the Word of God. If you want to abide in God's righteousness, where you can be saved, you must abide in his word. Okay? Verse 6. We know this. We've heard this before. Verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Isaiah 11, verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox, and the suckling child shall play in the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. Verse 10, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, there it is again, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. We desire to enter into the rest of the Lord. Verse 11, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the lands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the soldiers of the Philistines towards the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. And there shall be an highway, and this was what I was getting to, the main point, and there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. Isaiah 35, starting with verse 8. The highway. And an highway shall be there, Isaiah 35:8. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those the wayfaring man, though fools shall not err therein. This is going to be simple. It's going to be easy. You got to obey the gospel to become a Christian. It's that simple. You have to go to college to mess this up. Y'all have heard that before, right? You have to get a degree to get this wrong. And an highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring man, though fool shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up therein. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. The redeemed shall walk there. How are we redeemed? We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And the ransomed of the Lord. We are the ransomed of the Lord. We are the ones that God shed his blood for, those that obey the gospel. And the ransomed of the Lord, this is verse 10, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs of everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. What is the stone? Again, that stone is Christ. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 13. Isaiah 8:13. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense, to both the houses of Israel for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Who is going to be a rock of stumbling and a stone of offense? Well, of course, that is Christ. Let us look at Psalms 118, verse 22. Psalms 118, verse 22. The stone which the builders refused is become the stone of the corner. Verse 23, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. A lot of people put that in the form of a question, but is it a question? Is it marvelous in our eyes? And the fulfillment of that in Matthew chapter 21, starting with verse 42. Matthew 21, 42. Jesus saith unto them, did you ever read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Those that would know the scriptures. Verse 43. This is Matthew 21, 43. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, taken from those who reject it, the Jews, and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Are you bringing forth the fruits? How do we bring forth fruits? By the word of God. How do we bear fruit? By the word of God. Shouldn't we try to win souls to Christ? And how do we do that? By the word of God. And how do we get souls in Christ? By the gospel. And what is the gospel? The gospel is how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And what is the gospel? The death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. Amen. How do we get into the kingdom of Christ? By obeying the gospel. So, how does one obey death, burial, and resurrection? Well, there has to be a death, a burial, and a resurrection in the life of the non-Christians in order to become a Christian. How many gospels are there? Okay, any 8-year-old children here? How many ways is there to obey that gospel? One gospel, one way to obey it. So if the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, as declared in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, good verse to memorize, verses 1 through 4, verses. The gospel is death, burial, and resurrection. How does one obey death, burial, and resurrection? You got to repent of your sins. And this is according to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. In Acts chapter 2, Peter preaches the gospel. You see death, burial, and resurrection there. And then after that, those that heard say, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Yes, baptism is for the remission of sins, in obedience to the gospel. Then he says, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So, death of Christ, death to sin, you repent of your sins. Burial, you're baptized in water. Resurrection, you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, because if you don't have the gift of the Holy Ghost, then you will not be resurrected. Come the parousia of God. Come the parousia of the Lord. When Christ comes again and you don't have the Holy Spirit, you are done for. And the only way to get the Holy Spirit is by obeying the gospel. That's the only way in these last days. So if you're not a Christian, you can become one right now. You can come up, obey the gospel, we'll get you baptized, and enter into the joy of the Lord. If you're in need of prayer, we have response cards that you can fill out. You can fill them out and you can bring it up and we will pray for you. Won't you do that right now? Won't you do that right now as we stand and sing our invitational song?
Oh!